Today on the show, Radical Ones, we celebrate episode 150 with the comedy classic, The First Wives Club from 1996.
I mean, if all the first wives of the world got together, what else do we need?
Just one amazing attorney.
It's time to get radical.
Hello there.
It's showtime.
What is this, trick-or-treat?
Too late! Oh!
Did I do that?
Good morning, Charlie.
Deal
with it.
Daddy would have gotten us
Uzis.
The power is yours.
Get down, honey, get down.
Yeah.
And look, I won't go far, okay? If the apocalypse comes,
Here's your fire.
I'm a human.
My name is Grace Jones.
Thunder.
Power three will set us free.
But I'm one to
gossip, so if anyone asks you, you ain't
heard from me. No, you have.
No more room in hell. The dead.
Welcome back, Radical Ones, to another episode of the Radical Retro Rewind Podcast. As always, I am your host, Radical Ryan Hunter, here with another episode of the show. We have everyone's favorite brother, David, and Rob, the movie geek himself, for our 150th episode.
Yay! I love it. 150, my goodness. And this is excluding all of the other bonus stuff. Like, we've done clearly more than 200.
Exactly, Rob. Bonus things, little shorts, little reviews. We actually last month hit 100 episodes of Thundercats as well. So it's
wow.
Like, what a time to celebrate. And I think today's movie, which was picked by Rob.
Of course it was. Of course.
Another good
question.
One. Another good one.
But why is it perfect for episode 150? I think. Honestly, I think it's us. There's three of us here, and there's three leads in this movie.
Who do I get to be?
You get to be Brenda.
Yeah, honestly.
Yeah, you get to be Brenda. I'm Elise. Ryan is Annie.
Yeah. I'm not even gonna.
Yeah.
I'm not even gonna question.
I would love to be Brenda, but between the three of us, you have Brenda way more in you than I do. I will totally be Elise. I have no problem with that. I do have feelings. I have all of them.
That is such a great line because she is an actress. I think that is
it's
so
the
genius.
Vodka on the floor for me. It's just, she does not care.
You think just because I'm a movie star, I don't have feelings. Well, you're wrong. I do have feelings. I'm an actress. I have all of them.
God, I love this movie. But I'm getting ahead. I'm so sorry. This movie is so quotable.
This is another amazing one, by the way, I have to say, because Scrooged was something that I had forgotten about. And I am so happy you reminded me of it because it was so good. And this also forgotten for some reason. Really amazing. I laughed the whole time. My husband actually liked it, which is, you know, unheard of. He has no, like,
pop culture. Well, he liked Screwed, too.
Screwed.
He did like Screwed. So as we are approaching episode 150, this would be an amazing time for longtime Radical Ones, new listeners as well. First off, thank you for being here along the journey to episode 150.
Yes, thank you for that.
And all of the new listeners we have gathered over the last year as well. If you have it in your heart to leave us a celebration review on Apple, we're still desperate in need of those Apple reviews, guys. We're still at review 21. I want to get to that 22 so bad.
22 is the number, right?
That's that is the number. Just because it's like, it's every time I go to check, I'm like, okay, 21, you're still here. One day.
Do it, Morris. Do it to me now. I need it. You're the only one who does it the way I like it.
If I give you any more collagen, your lips are going to look like they got stuck in a pool drain.
Good morning, Mom.
Morning, Miss Elliot.
Leave me alone. I'm very fragile right now.
What is that fragrance? Mince Milano, Chips Ahoy?
Malamars.
Hey, Bob! Hi, sweetie.
Hello.
Hi.
You know you're in a gay bar?
I know, honey. I know, and that's what's so great.
There's just so many nice lesbians. Just everywhere you look, there's lesbians.
What's the matter?
She's...
Come on, at least you can tell me. The cheekbones, the jawline. Did you just have a little bit of the full Ivana?
Okay. All right, I have been fresh enough already.
What do they do with the stuff they take off? You get to keep it?
I gave Aaron a home. I washed the shorts, I ironed them, and I starched them.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, well, I mean, I supervised.
Hello.
What's the matter, Morty? Can't you buy her a whole dress? At least, hi, I'm Phoebe. I've seen all your movies, and I want to be just like you. Only me.
He brought her to my son's bar mitzvah. Is she a gift?
What are we talking about? Are we talking about revenge?
No, I am talking about justice. Put it in there.
Okay, First Wives Club, we'll come to order.
Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Ba, 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 ba.
Don't you touch that.
Drop it, you heat-seeking hairpin.
Come on, hey. Stop it.
You don't own me. Don't try to change me in any way.
This is about justice.
Hello, sunshine.
Wake up and smell the audit.
Let me be myself.
Happy days.
That's all I ask of you.
Bette Midler, Goldie Hawn, Diane Keaton.
We're so 90s.
We can help them ride, we can help them fall.
The First Wives Club.
Ladies, remember
what?
Don't get mad, get everything.
Let's get into the movie, gentlemen, because there is a lot to say about this. It is described as despondent over the marriage of her ex-husband to a younger woman. A middle-aged divorcee plunges to her death from her penthouse. At the woman's funeral, her former college friends, Bette Midler, Goldie Hawn, and Diane Keaton, reunite for the first time in 30 years. When the three discover the reason for the friend's suicide, they realize that all of their ex-husbands have taken them for granted and decide it's time for revenge. They make a pact to get back. For some reason, I saw this movie in the movie theaters with our mother. In 1996, did I understand? But I loved it.
I understood almost everything. I mean, watching it last night, there were some jokes that I was like, yep, I can definitely tell you I didn't know what that meant before and I do now. No, I knew exactly what I was getting into. This was 3 years after Hocus, and you've got two of the three witches in this. So of course this was on my list to watch. Then you've got Goldie Hawn. Like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Of course I'm gonna watch this. Funny little story. In 96 was, I was a teen. So I was old enough to have opinions. I was through puberty. I knew what was going on to a certain degree. And I had gotten good grades in high school. And a friend of mine was like, I'm going to take you to a movie because you did so wonderful in school. You have a choice to watch any movie in the theater that you want. What do you want to go see? And the biggest movies that week was First Wives Club and The Crow Part 2.
Oh.
Now, any gentleman would definitely pick Crow 2. It's action, it's got suspense, it's dark, it comes from an amazing original movie. What do I pick? I choose to go see a movie where there's nothing but old white people above 60 years old. Me and my friend were the only black young people in this theater at the time, and I don't regret one freaking minute. If this didn't tell you anything, it didn't tell me nothing. It told me absolutely nothing. I had no clue. Bronson Pishon, like, are you
Belki
kidding me?
Tokamos.
And I chose this over an action movie. I, like, are you kidding?
But you
I
made the right
minute.
Decision,
Hell
Rob.
Yeah, I made right decision.
Crow 2. Ooh.
I know. It's not a really good comparison, but as a male growing up, like, why am I choosing? And nobody said anything. Nobody cared. They were like, let's go see this movie. And I was dying. So funny.
What was the opinion of your friend then? Now I want to know what the friends are.
Oh, that was so long ago. I mean, if I remember anything, I don't think she really gave me an opinion about like what I mean. She was the type of woman who honestly just let me shine, to be honest. Like, there was never really a reason to question like that movie, really. Like, and she was a female, so I think she probably would have enjoyed this over Crow 2 anyway.
I think everyone would have, probably.
Yeah, we had a good time. I was laughing, I loved it. But like, this movie's a staple. It definitely is one of those memories where it's like, you're different, dude. And that's okay. So, but yeah, love this movie.
I remember watching this movie growing up constantly. And I do have the DVD somewhere. It's actually in David's house somewhere. I had not seen it probably in the last 7 years, but growing up, this movie was always on. I watched it continuously. I could quote a lot of things from the movie. But oddly enough, yeah, I never thought of this yet for the show. And I also never thought of rewatching it in the last 7 or 8 years. So that is something.
He brought her to my son's bar mitzvah. Is she a gift?
I don't know. This movie gave me like, do you remember the movie with Roseanne She-Devil?
Yeah, yeah.
So it was like all of these movies, and also considering the actresses in it, it was giving me like some Death Becomes Her a little bit, yes, with She-Devil, with a little bit of like a little dash of this, a little dash of that. And it may also be because of all the memories I've had about that time when those actresses were like in all these different, you know, Bette Midler with Barbara Hershey and, you know, in
Beaches
and all these different things. And I am a big, big lover. I always and will always fight for the underdog, fight for the person that has been wronged. So that is appeals to me. And I don't, revenge can be good in a way, but I always say revenge is a life well lived. You know, the best revenge on someone who's done you wrong is I have a good life and you didn't take anything from, you didn't destroy me. I didn't crumble, as opposed to physically getting revenge. But these men are kind of scumbags in this movie. So I kind of like, they're just desserts. I like the fact that the tables were turned, and I like the fact that they worked together to encompass them. But again, very much that whole created an agency like in She-Devil, remember with Rose and their little red roses, they were part of some kind of.
You brought up the whole thing with the revenge for the men in preparation for our reviews. I like to hear other people's opinions sometimes to see like what are people saying. I saw this one on YouTube where it's two gentlemen and they're watching it for the first time. And do you know, besides Diane Keaton's husband, they were kind of like, well, what did the other two do? Even when they got to the part where Bette Midler's husband was in bed embezzling, they're like, oh, her father was doing it too. I was like, I don't think the father was doing it.
But the whole point of it is that she had something on him to blackmail him, but he was cheating on her. It had nothing to do with the blackmail.
That's what I kept saying.
The fact that she was using it as a tool, gentlemen, that first watch it for the first time, she was using it as a tool to get at him. It's not because he was doing that. It's because she cheated on him with a younger woman and slapped her in the face with it, and the woman made a fool out of her. That's funny, too?
Got to Bette Midler's character. They said she's been making fun of people for 30 minutes, and then this one woman, after she makes fun of her, Sarah Jessica Parker's character, we have to go wah, wah, wah. I was like, oh my god, this is a completely different take on this movie.
Making fun of in the movie?
When she sees Sarah Jessica and she's like, oh, she barely has clothes on, and she goes, get it in your size.
They're stunning, Morton. I need all of them.
Morton?
Oh god, make it go away.
Shelley, look at you. My, my, the bulimia certainly has paid off.
Don't start.
What's the matter, Morty? Can't you buy her a whole dress?
Stop it.
Brenda, why don't you try these on in your tight?
Because her husband's been cheating on her with this woman, and she knowingly cheats on her husband.
I don't think it's ever said that he cheats, did he?
What was going on was that Bette Midler was all over Goldie Hawn's character, Elise, about her plastic surgery. Like, she kept bringing that up. And it was just sort of the witty, you know, snipes that she would say to, like, Maggie Smith and not Maggie Smith, but, like, Bronson, you know, Duardo.
Oh my God.
So it was the little stuff like that, that where she was obviously picking at other women, and then when it came to her, it was like
that,
a thing.
That's exactly.
It's also personal because of the husband thing.
Yes.
Now, the cheating aspect, so they don't officially say cheating, right? But we got a visual representation of what happened to all three of these women with Annie's husband,
yes,
Aaron. We literally see that he was having an affair while they were technically still married, even though they were separated. When you hear the words, my husband left me for a younger woman, that younger woman was present in their lives before they officially separated. Now, you can call it cheating or whatever the case may be, but that's what happened. These women did not come out of thin air after a separation. Yes, the marriage probably had problems, but a woman came in to solidify the separation is how I take it. And so when you say the term left me for another woman, that would indicate that you've been having either a physical or emotional affair while in marriage. So these gentlemen, because they didn't see that, are just assuming that, oh, they didn't do anything wrong, but just go for the, it's whatever.
I always did assume there was the cheating in that, but it never hit me that they never spell it out for the viewer before until they said that. And I was like, oh, that's a different take on this movie.
Well, I also think that this movie, I mean, this is another question that I do want to bring up too, but one part of it is, I'm not saying it's glamorized or fabricated in any way, but there's also just this idea of in the 90s or even earlier, the only reason you really would get a divorce is because of someone else. In TV and in movies, they usually like focus on the fact that marriage usually sticks together unless they're finding somebody younger or somebody that they love better. That's true. Right? So it just made sense for this particular movie to hone in on the idea that when you reach a certain age as a woman, you are cast out and replaced with someone new because nobody wants an older model of anything. That's really the main focus. It's not necessarily about like who did wrong in the relationship. And I guess now today we analyze relationships a bit more to really find out the root. And it's not one-sided. I'm sure these women definitely contributed to the demise of their marriage. Right? It's not just the men's fault. Which brings me to my next question for you guys. Do you feel that the characteristics, the personality, the demeanor, and the way that these men were treating their ex-wives, do you feel that it was heightened? Do you feel that it was real? Do you feel that this was something that you can definitely see men doing? Or do you think it was heightened for the men versus woman battle, or just the idea that these women definitely have a reason to get revenge? Do you feel that it was fake at all?
To me, it felt real, never having to been in that situation before.
So you think most like these men represent what most women go through when they're going through a divorce or dealing with a husband that is just a terrible person to them?
I honestly do, because you know why? I had so many female friends over the years that have had like, and my ex now is like treats me like trash, and they have the younger, so this actually feels very real, like you said, upgrading the model to the younger version. I feel like this is definitely real life. Of course it has to be heightened, like you said, for that we got to get revenge on them, I think, by the end of the movie, but it feels real. David, you're married,
so I have a lot to say, so I'm going to try to do as quickly as possible. Goldie Hawn's character and her man,
Elise,
both in the entertainment industry, he made most of his money off of her back. Her acting, her connections, whatever, whether she was the best actress, the worst actress, whether she was whatever, she helped make him. He was the producer, director. She was the actress starlet. And when it got to a point, she's a drunk, but they don't know if she was a drunk because of the divorce or she became a drunk because that was just part of the whole, you know, drugs and alcohol becoming famous. So you never know. But he did not give her a fair share once they broke up. He basically did what Ronnie Spector did to his ex, and when he destroyed her music career, he basically said that she can't work. He's going to make all the money off of her still, just like Mariah Carey and Tommy Mottola did until she got out of Sony. Totally.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. I don't want to. It's right there. It's played out in front of you in real life. We've seen it already. So that's 100% possible and true. Whether or not, you know what? Here's the thing is, if my husband broke up with me, if it was because we had differences and things like that, I would try to be amicable. But if he's cheating on me, I'd be more vengeful, but at the same time, because I have children, I try to be like a little more lenient about it because I don't want to affect my kids, but they don't have children, and so the gloves are off, and I guess in that way. So that's one.
Annie is Diane Keaton.
Annie, the husband just cheated on her because she's a doormat. He used her as a mother and not as a wife, and he had sex with her occasionally when he felt like it, but he was cheating the whole time, including with their therapist. He's a scumbag as far as I'm concerned, and a narcissist, and thinks that he's justified.
I think he's the worst.
Yeah, he's the worst because he's in his own head. He doesn't think he's doing anything wrong. Bette Midler's husband, I think he went through a midlife crisis, and I think he found a younger thing, and I think he was cheating, whether in his heart or his mind, maybe not physically, but then turned into it. So I think that's why she's bitter. Now, that said, men do horrible things all the time, and Ryan knows the story, and I'll tell you quickly. When I was younger, I was working at a gay bar, even though I wasn't even old enough to be in a bar. I was still there checking people's IDs, and I was a bar back at you like that. I was like 18 years old, and I was going out with this guy, and he was stringing me along, as many men do, and I was so young, and my heart was like, oh, you know, I wanted to be loved, and this and that. And then I saw this one guy sitting around, really cute guy, and I was like, what's wrong? Because I have a bleeding heart. And he's like, you know, this guy, I thought he liked me. He's been playing around with me. He's been doing this, and he's telling me what. I said, well, what did he do to you? He did this. And I'm like, wow, that sounds so familiar. And he did this, and he's been doing this. I'm like, that sounds exactly like what this guy that I've been seeing. I'm like, what's his name? Is his name Sean Christopher Clark? Yes, we found out. So you know what we did? We invited him to I made the guy invite him to a restaurant, and we both showed up at the same time at the restaurant and was like,
oh, you boys is mind him.
And he was so upset because he was gorgeous. Of course. My God, he was gorgeous. Anyway, he was so out of my league.
So you could have had your own first boyfriend's club going on there with
so
that.
So anyway,
other...
men are scum. No, I'm sorry.
Rob, now what are your take on these men then?
For a 90s movie, I think that they were pretty authentic to how women are treated. You know, I mean, I can't quote or go word for word and be like, oh yeah, I know a specific couple who has gone through this. But I would not put it past men to do the things that were seen in this film. Especially just dating someone who's younger. When men go through midlife crisis, this is one of the possibilities if they are in a marriage that they need to go through this to feel young again. There's also, you know, talks about couples who got married way young and didn't yes. experience life, aka didn't get in hoe phase. And so when mm-hmm. their mortality is questioned, then they have to go through what they consider their own bucket list. And it's like, I need to do this. I'm still a handsome gentleman. And it's, you know, there's a line that Elise says in the bar after she finds out she's Monique's mother. Oh God, Monique's mother. She's drunk and she's naming all of these old actresses that would play Monique's mother way better than her and looks the part. And she, you know, drunkenly says Sean Connery would be Monique's mother. But she's like, wait, I'll take that back. Sean Connery would be Monique's boyfriend or lover because he's 300 years old and he's still yes. a stud.
I'm not Monique's mother.
No.
Angela Lansbury is Monique's mother. Shelley Winters is Monique's mother.
Now that's good.
Sean Connery is Monique's mother.
Yeah. Perhaps I should get you some coffee.
Oh, wait a minute. I take that back. Sean Connery is Monique's boyfriend. He's 300 years old, but he's still a stud.
But for women, and this is another quote, paraphrasing, there's only three parts for women: Babe, District Attorney, and Driving Miss Daisy. That is it. There is no in between. And I think women just go through a different timeline and lifestyle when it comes to marriage, entertainment, and being in the spotlight. This is another thing. It's like what David pointed out. Annie, we find out later, she used to be a working gal. I mean, let's go back to Baby Boom.
Yes,
you know, like this yes. woman was always behind a desk. She gave it up to be a mother. What do you know? Daughter's like, you need to get back into advertising. And she, you see how she lit up in that meeting with those two gentlemen? She clearly loves business and she loves working. She loves doing things for herself, but she allowed her husband to take the lead and be the star and be the breadwinner. And I find that to be very authentic, for sure. Because it's a comedy, right? I think a lot of these lines that the men were saying to these women clearly is not funny, right?
Oh,
but
yeah.
I mean, so they're saying things that I don't know would be said to their faces. But I will say this. Annie's story, it didn't happen to me in the exact way that it happened to her. It wasn't like I lost someone because they cheated on me with their therapist. And I told Ryan this, I had someone sleep with me before breaking up with me. They knew weeks in advance that they did not want to continue dating me, and they slept with me one last time just because.
Well, maybe it was that good, Rob.
It is that good. But it really sucks. I don't know if anybody else has gone through this. That feeling sucks. It's not like non-consent, but it isn't.
Yeah, like, that's a little.
I didn't consent to having a one last, roll around in the hay, you know. And if I knew what was going to happen afterwards, I would not have chosen that. So it feels like I didn't have a say. It really sucks. It's not a good feeling, and I feel for this woman. It just sucks the way that she found out. But kudos to Marsha. Marsha Gay Harden looked great in this movie. I will just put that out there.
My God, that she looks so good to her. Like when we first see her in the office with her skirt on. I mean, do you y'all remember when you first saw this movie? If you figured out that was going to be the
I knew that.
Oh, I did. Beginning. Yeah, no. Oh, for sure.
Totally. Yes. Vibe.
Yeah.
We had such spirit.
Say, Annie. Huh?
What?
Work from love.
Okay. Work from love.
Good. Grow from love.
Grow from love.
Screw the world.
I can't say that. I'm sorry, Leslie.
Hey, Annie?
What?
Annie, you are still doing it.
I know.
You have a problem with unexpressed anger.
Well, I know. You're absolutely right. You know, it's my... I don't know what it is. It's my mother. It's Connecticut. It's all these loud noises.
But that annoys me. That annoyed me because that's that is such a breach of professionalism and everything else.
Annie could have got that woman fired.
I would have
so
kicked her
quickly.
Ass from one end to the other. Now, I want to say something to all of the male listeners because I don't want to come up as male bashing. Obviously, I am a man.
I was gonna say, yeah, we're men.
I will say this. women do the same thing, and I would like to quote somebody, a spin artist. She brought her face up laughing. And when the prosecutor realized what had happened, all that speaking her mind and testifying and crying, when this bitch did the crime, the queen pin, women do it too. You're not innocent either. Men just happen to be more on blast about it. Women do horrible things, manipulate men. They use their vagina power to twist men in knots.
Vagina power.
And straight men will go to war over women. Now, for me, nobody's that good.
Well, Rob is evidently.
Well, Rob is, but I haven't tasted that forbidden fruit, so no, I don't know.
I do sympathize with that. I think that men do suffer. I think men do go through similar things. And I think the big thing about it is that they don't admit it, right? Or they're ashamed, or it's just something that they're not meant to feel vulnerable about, because no matter what men are going through, women will always have sort of this overall, I don't want to call it a struggle, but they just have a lot more obstacles that something like this is not really going to. It's not going to even the playing field, right? Like, we're not going to be even in that aspect. Women are always going to be going through a lot more than men, regardless. It doesn't matter. But that does not say that men do not go through this. And I would love a movie that would highlight something like that. And
yeah, because you don't see that.
Yeah, you don't see
Common,
it.
Common, sure we speak your name, Common. I speak your name.
Tess, oh my God. How many times did we used to watch that music video over and over again?
Brenda worked for a man named Duarto Felice. One of the 10 worst interior decorators in New York City. I think his real name was Dwayne Hemelwitz.
It's electric.
Oh, God.
And look at this hideous.
Wow, I cannot afford it.
No, but you've got to have it. Go and try it on. Who cares? You could sell your brooch, your son.
Is Bronson Pichard's character?
Flaming.
Felice.
You need a flamethrower.
Duarto Felice.
Did he do the Dance of Joy in that penthouse? By the way, does that man always have an accent in every movie he ever does?
I think that people kind of expect, it's kind of like the Bobcat Goldthwait thing. I think people kind of expect a little bit of Balky in each character. I just think he's having fun with that type of thing because he is, you know, foreign. So I think that it comes with the territory. Like if you want Bronson in your movie, most likely they're going to ask him to do some kind of character to his personality.
By the way, now that we just mentioned him, he says in an interview in 2009, Bette Miller was such a bitch.
Aww.
To the director, Hugh Wilson. She was rolling her eyes and she had favorite actors and she made it very difficult.
Who were the favorite actors though?
And he was at his wit ends. He's actually a very nice man and she was very unkind to him.
That's
on
too
that
bad.
Movie.
That's too bad.
I mean, there are so many things in this movie, gentlemen. Okay, so I just want to mention really quickly, did anyone, even from the first viewing of this movie, when they have the flashback to the 60s and they have these look-alike actors, they do something that a lot of movies don't do. They provide the voiceovers of their characters. Ever since then, since 1996,
yeah,
it has thrown me off.
Really?
Because I know it's their voices, but I don't know. I've always been, maybe it's because I did watch a lot of dubbed anime. There's something about voices not lining up with mouths that throw me off.
Where's Cynthia? We have to get going, don't we? I mean, shouldn't we?
Calm and collected, Annie. She said she had a surprise.
How is this? Is this heaven?
Elise, you are so gorgeous, really. Oh, my, it's lovely.
It's solid.
Oh, girls.
Cynthia.
Here, open, put him on.
Oh, my God. Oh, no, you shouldn't have done this. It's too much.
I don't think so. I think it's just enough. You can all write me nice notes, but right now we need a toast.
Got it.
Pour. Oh. It's picture time.
Champagne from my boat.
Okay. So you're saying they just could have done a better job? Because
it's just a unique thing, I think, of this movie.
I think that the movie, it's a little meta. I think you're supposed to know that it is a voiceover because you want to be able to identify their younger counterparts to them being older.
Betts is perfect, though. I mean, Betts is like spot on.
Betts is very, yes. I thought their lookalikes were great. Stalker being that tall. Either these women are really short, or I don't know what that was, but I was like, Cynthia's not that tall. I don't know what that was. Yeah, no, I thought it was a interesting gesture. When movies do that, it doesn't take me out of it. I just know the purpose of what you're doing. A movie's a movie. And so it doesn't take me out as much, but I thought it was a nice touch to help identify each character.
Also, there is this great scene when they form the First Wives Club, and my God, they do this thing where they each put their wedding rings into a glass of champagne. Yes, Rob. Wanted to vomit. Diane Keaton's character, Annie, is the one that drinks it. But first off, the superhero music that swells in the background of this scene is hysterical. It is Marvel. And then you get the germs of three different women's fingers.
Okay. See this?
What?
Ooh.
Wait, right here.
What?
Okay. Put it in there.
All right, First Wives Club, we'll come to order.
Starting the club was easy. Figuring out what to do next was considerably harder. We each decided to gather information about our husbands.
It's such a cute gesture. I just don't know why she took a sip of that. That was really weird. And looked at it, too. It's like, this is clearly unsanitary. I did think that was kind
of funny. Those bubbles are, like, probably taken up chunks.
Well, I mean, I don't want to say the obvious, but, I mean, think about where her husband's has been in so many. She's put her mouth on that.
You know, I didn't even think of that. Also, I just want to bring up three little things before I get off. Little scenes, because there's so much in this movie. The poster Elise's husband has with the movie, Policewoman by Day, Hooker by Night.
Yeah.
Hysterical. And my God, that office, tell me, gentlemen, was not the 90s vomited.
Just look at you.
That it was the most 90s office I have ever seen in my life.
Those Apple computers.
My God.
I was watching this with a friend of mine, and he was like, because they were in the limo and she was on the computer. I'm like, what are you connected to? There was no Wi-Fi.
No.
Like, nothing. You had, where was the plug? It was so funny that she was on there just typing away. Yeah, those computers were ancient. Yeah, very 90s.
And what was that style with the pillars? Again, invoke our Charmed. That's very Prue working in the Blinn's auction house. Like, these desks that are like from
Roman. Roman, they used to sell.
It's ugly.
They used to sell.
Hell.
Remember in the 90s, you sell columns, just random columns that were so high that you could just put in, I don't know, put a vase on it or something. I don't even know what. And I thought they were cool back in the day.
Even then, it's like, it was like a what?
I used to work at this place called Z Gallery. They all went out of business.
Thinking that.
You know what Z Gallery is because you're in California, right?
The name isn't ringing a bell, but I'll have to look it up.
It's like one of those I think they're all out of business now, probably.
It's defunct.
Yeah.
Sure.
They used to sell stuff like that.
Comic Book Club News gives you the comic book news you need to know first thing in the morning every weekday in the form of digestible 3 to 5 minute long podcasts. Comic Book Club News recaps breaking news stories from Marvel, DC Comics, and beyond, Monday through Friday. New episodes drop 6 a.m. ET in the Comic Book Club News feed, so they're ready for you when you're ready for the day. Comic Book Club News. You hear it second or third, possibly fourth.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
Radical Ones, we are doing our first radical giveaway. Want to unleash your inner cool this winter with the legendary Freezy Freakies? We've teamed up with Freezy Freakies to give two lucky Radical Ones a chance to win a pair of these iconic gloves in the style and size of their choice.
Sent directly from Freezy Freakies to them.
To win this, David, our Radical Ones have to head on over to our Radical Retro Rewind podcast on Instagram. Find our posts, follow Radical Retro Rewind, follow Freezy Freakies, like the post, tag a friend or someone who might enjoy a pair of the Freezy Freakies themselves, and that's all you have to do. All entries must be received by midnight on February 27th, and the winners will be chosen at random and announced the following day on February 28th. And if you want more information about Freezy Freakies and all the different pairs and merchandise you can buy, head on over to GetFreezy.com. Head on over to that Instagram. Enter that contest. We want you to win. Stay radical.
Or freaky.
Special shout out to Annie's very gay daughter, Chris. Very lesbian. What was her
name? By the way, Daddy. Like,
big lesbian. Big lesbian.
I'm a big one. Yeah, a big one.
Oh, Daddy. I'm a lesbian. A big one.
That was, again, another take on, like, Rob, you are clearly gay. Like, I don't know why you're taking so long. I enjoy the fact that the lesbian community was involved in this movie. I love that we got to see one of their bars. Like, you never hear about the women.
Never. Never.
I love that. The fact that
they gave her a gay daughter and they went to a gay bar and Elise was having the time of her
life. I love that part. That's my favorite.
Hanging out with these gay women. She was just so excited to be in their space and enjoy it. It was, yeah.
And M people.
Yes. These women were shown to be happy. I mean, aside from the woman at the bar who had, you know, who left her for a woman who weighs 12 pounds.
But honestly, it also showed that we're all the same.
Yeah, we're all the same.
Heartache and problems and...
What's wrong?
It's my lover. She left me after 18 years for some teenager who weighs 12 pounds. I don't know what I'm gonna do.
Oh my God. That's just like me and Morty.
Who?
Morty!
She's butch.
She's butch. She's butch.
But they did not have to highlight them in any shape or form. And I know that even back then, even saying that, I mean, because the way she told
taboo.
Annie, it was very like, oh, I'm just going to say it. And don't tell Daddy, because I want to tell him on a good
I
day.
Love like, Father's it. Day.
it is something of a surprise, because people could watch this now and be like, what's the big deal? And it's just like, back then, yes, that's something you don't expect for your child to grow up in. And they didn't make it a big thing, right? Like, she could have easily had like a scene where, oh, we need to talk about this gay stuff, you know, but she embraced it. She was like, I want to show my daughter that I'm like cool and whatever, and I'm going to go to her space and, you know, ask for help. I just love all of that. And there was no reason for it, and they put it in any way. And I just think it's awesome. I just think it's awesome. So I love her character. I love that she was in it.
Do you like the reference when she said, who's your designer, Guns N' Roses?
Yes, Guns N' Roses. I could hear her say it. Guns
yeah, it's such Roses. A weird, she said it's so weird.
I had guests. Who? Guns N' Roses?
That's the most outdated joke in this movie. Like, oh, who God. Says Guns N' Roses?
I'm telling you, this is a very warm hug, this movie, was watching this, because even for, David's wearing a New York sweater, like, 90s New York is very, very part of, like, movie history even. Like, so many series was in 90s New York City, and this is such a...
Sex in the City?
Why do I feel like this was inspiration for that book? Candice Burrell. What is her name? Candice Burrell? Burgess. I don't even know. Burrell Burgess. I was getting Sex in the City. And, you know, I'm not even a big Sex in the City, but I felt like this was like...
You were getting Sex in the City?
There was a lot of sex in this city. So, okay. I feel like everyone remembers this one scene, which is the window cleaning...
Best scene in the movie. Best scene in the movie. Oh my God.
That drop, right? That one drop, when you see them drop for the first time, is just... And then when Elise sees those people, like, you look great!
And she's like, thank you.
And then the drop is just...
Oh God, that
movie is hysterical.
Is that Elise Elliot?
Elise, you look great!
That part is so
good. You know, the other thing too is, Ryan, bring up the fact, because Goldie Hawn, because she's feeling old because of the...
Oh, this,
Elizabeth
yes.
Berkeley? Elizabeth Berkeley from Saved by the Bell is the new Pop-Tart of the Pop-Tart girlfriend of
a
the
year
director.
After Showgirls.
She wants to get more injections in her lips. This is way before that trend became horrific, when people started to become inhuman looking.
I want Tina Turner. I want Jagger. Fill them up.
They injected her lips with saline solution, and she said for years afterwards, it caused her so much pain.
So she really got injections.
She really got injections, Rob, but I'm saying, why could that not be makeup? Because it's not even that big of a difference.
That
honestly.
Is so funny. My friend asked if she really did do it. I was like, no, that's got to be prosthetics. Why do that for one joke? That's, wow, that's interesting.
And you know the joke when she says, those lips, are they wax? Why couldn't they be wax? Because you would have gotten the same effect, and you probably could have gotten them even more.
Okay, Elise, the time has come. Spill those lips. What's in them? Are they wax?
They could have lined them and like made them more exaggerated and plumped yes. them up and done a lot of things. Yes. I guess they didn't want to.
Oh, cannot go by without mentioning Billy Porter singing Love yeah. Is On The Way.
That's my first exposure to Billy Porter. And I didn't know who Billy Porter was at the time either. But going back, and I'm like, whoa, that is his voice pretty well. Yeah, great song too.
That song instantly, when that scene started playing, you're just like singing along to that. It's so a part of this movie. And I do love, I don't know about you, I love that this was taken care of. It wasn't dragged out, that they fought for weeks and they were just gonna, I'm not gonna, it was literally the same night that mm-hmm. these women got back together. Again, not a cliche. We had the cliche, maybe the fight, but it wasn't dragged out that it had to been, oh no, I'm not doing it. And it was the two characters that you think would be the most stubborn came together.
I'm sorry. It's okay.
Yeah.
Can we also talk about the, I don't know if it was, I wouldn't say it's a secondary story in the storyline, but obviously the revenge and the husbands and this and that is kind of like the whole plot of the story. Yeah. But can we talk about the fact that they were all really such great friends when they were younger? We all have been there. We're like, we're always going to be friends. We're going to stay in touch. And then we lose touch. And it took the death of one of their own for bring them together. And then this kind of sisterhood, this relationship started, but being it from, even though from it's from misery and because of regret and problems, they became friends again and became each other's support system. And this whole thing came. So I have one good friend, still one good friend from junior high school, Kathy. Ryan knows her. And I could just call her and I could wait a year if I needed to, which we don't, obviously we talk more often than that. But like, there's been times where we've had long periods of time and I could just pick up the phone or text and it's like, we never stop
have talking. That ish. Yeah.
It's like nothing has changed. And that's for me is very rare. Like when I used to tell people all the time and they used to say, oh, I don't know. I'm like, I have many acquaintances, but I have very few friends.
Ooh.
I'm a very friendly person. I am a very, even though I'm, believe it or not, I'm a very introverted person. Most people don't think that when they talk to me, they think I'm like this outgoing, booming, believe it or not.
I think it takes certain subjects, I think, to bring it out.
No, it's just like, I have to psych myself up to go do things. But when I do, I say to myself, why did you have to go through this self-torture to get yourself to go to that party or whatever? Because that's who I am.
Home.
No, because you miss out on a lot of things. So anyway, you're like, just stay home and be
stay
miserable.
Home. Just stay home and be miserable like me.
I really like that fact that they found each other again, but unfortunately it took a tragedy. If anything from this movie, that if you don't have a cheating spouse or whatever, if you have a connection with somebody and it's worth having, don't wait on it. Make a phone call, send a text, even if something silly like, hey, I was just thinking about you, or, you know, hey, you know, going reminiscing about old times, whatever. I know I'm being a little sentimental, but, you know, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. So, you know, we were talking off camera about like the wildfires going on in California. It's like, you don't know what's going to happen. So unfortunately in this movie, it took somebody's death to bring them together, but it doesn't happen for you. So I make a suggestion. If you watch this movie, if you have somebody that you can communicate with, even if it's a quick message, don't wait.
Yeah. I think that's amazing. You are still in touch with your friend. I did make a note of that as well. From a viewing perspective, the chemistry between these women is insanely good. If not, they are just three of the best actresses in their prime at that time. I couldn't believe how easy it was for them to just say action and just have them talk. Now, just think about sort of the flow of the conversation, especially when they are meeting after the funeral. You know, they do this sort of like timeline skip sort of going into the next scene of the fact that they're almost closing out this bar because they just keep talking. And it's been 30 years. Homegirl forgot the other one's name, for God's sakes.
Was that real, though? Like,
that was real. No, that was real. Well, she's obviously drunk, too. But, you know, when you don't say a person's name after a long time, you don't necessarily. She was close. But it's just, do you see how easy it was for them to just get back into it? They didn't care about, like, sharing all of their stories. They were honest about everything. You know, they said what they were on their mind. It just felt easy for them to go back into it. You know, we didn't get a really good example of their friendship in college, but that is a big part of the chemistry between the three of them. But it's also just when you're watching that scene of them drinking, I don't know if all of that was in the script. That seemed like something that could be done on stage, but it's just, I don't know, just the idea of the way that the camera hit every single conversation, every word from every woman, and they all did things simultaneously while still letting others shine. You know, just Brenda just slurring over her words like, everyone, you know, and then, you know, Elise is giving her speech. It's just wild how good they were together. But to David's point, 30 years is not going to do anything to their friendship. They can still come back, give it a little speed bump, and they're right back where they started. But it is common. This is something that I'm slowly learning because I always thought that I was going to have those long-lasting friendships from when I was a kid, and none of it happened. I mean, I know people But yeah, we're not this, right? Like it's yeah, and it hasn't really been 30 years yet. I think that I could probably go to some of these people and it'll be fine, but it won't be the same. And you know, this is a movie, right. So it is what it is. Right. It's not real life. But like I had to learn slowly, and I'm still learning now that, you know, some friendships are just meant to kind of just go. So if it doesn't end up like these three women, that is also okay too. And it is a fact of life, especially when we get into adulthood. The energy has shifted and we just no longer give that same energy to each other anymore as we used to. And that's just kind of how it is sometimes. So, but I applaud the fact that after 30 years, it was still, you know, something great for them to kind of go back in, and they trusted each other wholeheartedly immediately after that.
Linda? My Morty got to be this big shot on TV. He was selling electronics, right? On our 20th wedding anniversary, it hits. Midlife crisis, major. He starts working out. He grows a mustache. He gets an earring. I said, Morty, what are you, a pirate? What's next, a parrot? And all of a sudden, I'm a big drag. I'm holding him back because I won't go rollerblading.
I just want to touch on Miss Rizzo and the fact that, well, for one, I commend her for the casting in this is insane if we really want to go into it. But like the fact that she agreed to do this movie for this cameo bit is fantastic, because I think they picked a wonderful woman to tie these three together. Of course she would be a part of this group. Of course she would. But it's also the idea that she was so far gone from her marriage, and the fact that she lost him to this younger woman, and it's all over the papers. Like, she's public eye. Like, this was her life, and she's embarrassed, but yet she felt strong enough to write her best friends a note, but didn't feel that it was worth calling any of them to help her and prevent her from doing this. That is wild that you are that far gone. Like, I've made the decision. It's going to happen.
Like, oh yeah.
And even though I have three friends that could probably help me, I'm just going to write them a goodbye note instead because I don't want my mind changed. Like, that is heavy.
And when that voiceover from Annie says, and then she makes her mind up, she does, like,
yeah,
that is determination to like.
But that woman across the building just working on her elliptical had to witness this shit. I'm sure that was like not on her bingo card that day.
By the way, the letter, we see part of it, but they have it online. It says, "Dear Annie, I am so sorry we didn't remain in each other's lives, but I know you'd be someone important. Annie, sometimes I envied your life. What I read seems so perfect. It's funny, in college I dreamed of making a difference, of helping others, but now it's as if I never existed.
I wish I had talent like Elise, or Brenda's humor, or your strength, Annie. But most of all, I wish I still had our friendship. Perhaps Gil isn't the problem. Oh, God. Perhaps loneliness is. Please take care of each other. Love, Cynthia.
And on such pretty stationery."
And that's a great line too. It's not always just tied to the man, right? Like, we're not that man hungry, like, oh, without a relationship, like, it's over. It's loneliness. And you know, these women didn't, you know, they had their big blowout and they were like, you never called me, you gossip behind me. Like, loneliness can be a huge part of it. And it shouldn't just, the power should not only just go to the men. But in her case, it was just super embarrassing to have that all over the papers and everything. Like, and what hope, the hope that you saw in those college girls, right? Like, you just never thought it was going to end up that way. And they were just so full of life and wanting to do, it's crazy how it could, you know, blink and then bam.
Very Desperate Housewives, by the way, the whole suicide.
Oh, for sure. That's exactly
also
Desperate Housewives.
Something else. So just something I also was brought to my mind when I was watching it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So in this movie, they kept mentioning that I feel like they were all around 45, right?
Yeah. Oh, all the same age, by the way. Like in real life, they were pretty much around the exact same age.
This is exactly, Rob. It said Goldie Hawn, Bette, Diane Keaton were all born within 45 days of each other and all celebrated their 50th birthdays while filming this movie.
Amazing.
So they're 50, but they're playing 45-year-olds. And you know what? I love that. Oh, this is crazy. Jessica Lange was for Elise at first envisioned.
Sally Field, I think, was going to be Annie. Yeah. She turned it down.
You know what? And I'm okay with that because I'm so okay with that.
Those two would have never done this window washy thing. They would have never done that scene. Neither one of them. Oh my God. The stuntman in that window washer. Tell me you guys saw that.
I love when I spot them.
There was like, there's no way those women did this stunt. I was dying. Those men in those wigs. Oh, that was so amazing.
This goes back to our crush podcast where it was a stunt man.
Oh, one thing I wanted to point out to you, Ryan, you and Shelley have something in common. Shelley is Sarah Jessica. The two of you love
forks.
Fork.
We need to both put the fork down.
No, you both love a good ambiance.
Yes, I do love ambiance. That is so true, Rob.
She brings up ambiance. I'm like, oh, that's Ryan. He will love that.
Oh my God. Thank you. Yes. I'm so glad you mentioned that. I do love ambiance. Yes.
Morty, all I want is a lifestyle, you know, with some ambiance and some classic eternal good taste.
But not for $300,000, Shelley.
And I would have been sold into the buying of those things.
Sex slave?
Sex slave? No, my God, no. I would have totally bought into the whole Maggie Smith scene. By the way, also played a witch. There was a lot of witch references.
Loved Maggie Smith in this. Loved the fact that she did this because she always plays the prim and proper. This was the closest I've seen to a comedic role for her, as far as I know. I loved it because she was candid, even though she's so prim and proper.
She was a girl's girl. She did not mind getting her hands dirty. She was a gossiper. She had all the tea. She had all the new, like,
and she didn't
her connection.
And she didn't look down. She didn't look, no. Even though she clearly was the highest on the tier of affluency and money, I'm assuming, out of the group, just because of her presence. She didn't look down at the actress. And this one and that.
She looked down at Shelly, though. That was the best.
Well, I looked down at Shelly.
Her facial expressions were
when I look
phenomenal.
At her, I'm quoting Sugar Hill. When I look at you, I look nowhere but down.
Shelly is, I feel like, to me, would be like the
trash.
Biggest, well, antagonist too of like this. I feel like she's a
trash. She was a hooker and not with a heart of gold. She was no pretty woman there.
Goldie posted a picture in 2011 where the three of them were at lunch confirming they had all signed on for a sequel. Yeah. 2011. Hawn confirmed that Netflix was working on the script, but she also admitted that the script isn't working. Well, that must have been the case because years later, there was a TV series starring Jill Scott. Mm-hmm. It ran for about 3 years.
Yeah, it's on Netflix now.
I mean, from what the reviews I'm looking at, like, this was... I actually want to watch this series now.
Yeah. No, it's been on my list. I have not watched it yet because it aired on BET and it just recently came to Netflix last year. And it is definitely on my list as well. I don't think it will have any ties to this movie. I just think the overall outline is... But I don't think we're going to get the same storylines. As far as I'm concerned, I hope they don't. There are a lot of three women out there who have been left for younger women. So hopefully they made it their own thing and it wasn't like a carbon copy of the movie. But
it actually says, Rob, that there is a lot of Easter eggs to
okay,
the movie.
Okay, great. Awesome.
So that seems like it's going to be an original story. And it kind of feels like the four girls, I don't know. There's a lot of promotion with four women. I want to know if they do the storyline with the four of them and then something happens. That
Ooh,
would be
yeah, I hear that.
Even more of a more investment in the character before she passes. I don't know. I don't
sure
know.
Thing.
But that is
sure
exciting.
Thing. Yeah.
We just have to bring up, of course, the You Don't Own Me scene, which I got, not goosebumps, but I got such nostalgia seeing them go down the streets of New York to that song, Under the Moonlight, and dancing.
The empty streets of New York. Now, yeah. I've never lived there, and I know that's not true.
No. They're not empty. And if they didn't lock that door up, something was going to get taken.
That party was over by, what, 1 o'clock at the latest? Like, come on. That was funny, but love that scene. Love it. They're still playing it.
You don't know
Musical Mondays.
Me.
They're still playing it. Like, this, yeah, that scene will never die. And you know, it's in the contract. If Bette's in a movie, she will sing a number. And, like, they didn't hesitate.
It seems like that, right? I mean.
No, I love it. It was turned into, you know,
a musical.
A pop song or whatever. And, you know, people are still, you know, thinking about this song and that scene. But, yes, as you bring up the musical as well, the musical, unfortunately, did not. I don't know if it wasn't a hit, but they just didn't do a tour. Like, it was in New York and then it did Chicago and that was it.
Why is it that every movie is getting a music? I love it. I mean, I'm here for it, but where is the Dawn of the Dead musical? Where is my musical?
It's the special effects. Yeah, that would be a very hard one to do. I was very excited for the First Wives Club musical, but it just never made it here. So I did hear that there was a money dispute with the sequel. Like, they didn't want to pay the ladies what they were due. That was one thing that I heard. But if the script is bad, it's bad. So there's that.
Well, that's true. In our like legacy sequels with Beverly Hills Cop and all of these movies coming back, I do feel like you might as well get the script good at this point. If you waited this long, don't just do it for the sake of it. So I agree. Like, if the script isn't good, don't attach yourself to this legacy.
Well, what do you imagine a script like that would be, though?
Helping
they already
other
got
women.
Their revenge.
I think helping other women, maybe their relationships, maybe they're dating again, maybe it happens to them again. Can you imagine?
I want to be the first husband's club.
No, I don't know what it would be, but there has to be some kind of brilliant idea there somewhere.
Did you guys happen to catch the J.K. Simmons cameo?
I don't think I did.
J.K. Simmons was one of the FBI agents who swooped up Morty during his commercial recording and kidnapped him. That one of them was J.K. Simmons.
Did not even notice. Oh. Rob always spots these cameos.
Go back and look at it. That was definitely him.
I have to look.
I'm trying to think if there was, I mean, the cast, like you said, was crazy. There's so many people in this cast. Oh, we didn't even mention Seventh Heaven.
Yeah.
He is canceled now.
Yeah. We don't talk about such things.
Why? Was he a pedo?
Yeah. There's some stuff that was found. Yeah.
Did he also smoke pot? On a special Seventh Heaven?
I would not be surprised by that.
That show is crazed, by the way.
Unhinged. So I just want to say that for people who have never seen this before, I think having a likeness for these actresses will definitely bring you in. This movie is so entertaining because of how good these three women are in their acting ability and their comedic timing. I don't feel that this movie is outdated. I mean, yes, you'll see a lot of technology that does not exist as far as look and model.
Fax machines.
Other than that, I think this is a really fun movie. I don't think it's an attack on men. I think it's more of a liberation and options for women who feel like they are just, you know, what did she say? We're old has-beens and discards. Like, there's more to life than that. And, you know, there's a friendship aspect or whatever. I was trying to think of a reason why a straight male would watch this. And I unfortunately don't have one. But if your woman asks you to watch something like this, I think that men can get a chuckle out of this. This does not make you gay. It does not make you femme. This is a movie that just has three wonderful artists in it that you may not be
Maybe you like MILFs.
Yeah.
No, you know what? I will say this is a movie that our father likes, David. He's also loves the Culture Club and Spice Girls.
He was listening to Culture Club. He was listening to Culture Club, God rest his soul, in the 80s. Culture Club and Billy Joel, people.
I think this movie it's still good. I think
it's good.
Yeah, it's a fun comedy. It's a one-in-a-lifetime movie for the three of them. Again, the casting is just amazing. And I honestly think that, you know, even though you guys haven't really thought about about it in years. This movie still keeps being brought up. There's always a reference to this movie. Let me tell you this one last thing. Jennifer Lawrence, bless her freaking heart. I love this woman. She's when she won her Oscar.
Oh, yes.
She got up on stage and for nobody else but herself, she goes, look what it says. It says, I beat Meryl. She literally quoted First Wives Club at her young age for no reason.
Oh my goodness, look at this. Ooh, know what it says? It says, I beat Meryl.
It does not, Brenda. Put that down.
Is there chocolate inside?
No, put it down.
Okay, okay.
Put it gently down. No.
And I wonder how many people watching the Oscars that year knew the reference. I loved her since that day. I was like, she just quoted First Wives Club for no reason, and it's amazing. And that's how relevant this movie. It's so good, and I just love her for that.
Is there chocolate inside?
Right. So I recommend it. It's free on Peak on Paramount Plus right now. Give it a shot. Watch it. The chemistry between the women are great. I just think it's so quotable. And it lines up with all the other movies that David mentioned earlier in the episode. You know, like there's so many movies that I could have picked for recommendations. This was very hard to narrow down because there's so many like it. And there's the feeling you get from watching these empowered women are in all of these other films. And it's just like, man, so many of them. And I'm glad this was one of them.
So with that being said, Rob, do you have any recommendations for us?
Rob's recommendations.
I definitely do. Okay, so for the folks who did love First Wives Club, I basically just picked a movie from one of our three main actresses. First off is Bette Midler. I don't think anybody knows what this movie is. It's not as good as First Wives Club, but it gives you Brenda. When you see Brenda in this movie, you're going to get her times two in this one. It's called That Old Feeling with Dennis Farina.
I thought you were going to say, is it Drowning Mona?
Oh, God, no, not. Well, Drowning Mona was.
I hated that.
Drowning Mona was something I think Drowning Mona is the only movie she didn't sing a song in, to be honest.
And that's why. That must have been the reason.
But no. It's called That Old Feeling. And it's her and Dennis Farina, who are parents to this daughter who is getting married. And this wedding is going to be the first time that these two see each other since their divorce. And the way that these two act when they are in the same room with each other, you think somebody is not at Bette Midler's level when it comes to arguing. Dennis Farina is top notch. The only one that can check her.
Actually.
And the whole movie is just based on how just argumentative the two of them are. They create a scene, they're loud, they're big, but something happens and it creates a whole bunch of hijinks throughout the rest of the movie. I think Bette Midler did a real good job in a comedic way, and not many people know much about this movie, so I'm recommending That Old Feeling. So definitely check that out. For Diane Keaton, I am recommending Something's Gotta Give with Jack Nicholson.
I actually really like that movie.
Diane Keaton won the award for this, and for good reason. She was phenomenal, and it's so funny. She definitely carried this movie. There are movies that I've seen where I don't particularly like her in, but this one is one of my favorite performances from her. Jack Nicholson is great too. Please watch this movie. It's so good. And I think the same feeling of this elite New York style type is in this movie as well. So you're kind of getting the same woman, but she's a lot stronger, but just hilarious. Just hilarious. She pulls it off really good.
Was she wearing her gloves in that movie?
Oh, yes, of course. The turtlenecks, all of it. Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, of course.
For Goldie Hawn, I chose Overboard. I think that there are so many movies of Goldie Hawn that I have not seen, especially in her comedic filmography. There is a lot that I definitely need to see, and I would love to recommend those if they are better than Overboard. But Overboard is just, especially a movie that I haven't mentioned yet, right? Like, this is the movie, I think, that solidified her long-lasting relationship with Kurt Russell.
Yes.
I used to watch this as a kid all the time. I just love the concept of it, and I think she did a wonderful job. So I recommend Overboard. So definitely watch that.
That must have been where they met. Yeah, I think, yeah. Right?
Now, if you did not like First Wives Club, it could be because it seemed seems a little old, maybe a little too mature, maybe it's just too, you know, ladylike. I don't know.
We have listeners that are straight men and they
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, Liz.
No, I
listen.
Know.
Do never apologize for your tastes, people.
Exactly.
Variety is the spice of life.
Exactly. You can still get the same vibe of three underdog women who triumph over men or whatever they need to accomplish, but it's done more in a younger setting, more modern, more, you know, raunchy, if you will. My first one is John Tucker Must Die.
My God.
I think this is a great example of three women getting back Cute. At a man who did them wrong. Instead of having their own husbands, it's one guy, three women. This is a perfect example of a young version of First Wives Club. They get together to form a bond and get revenge by forming a club. It's exactly First Wives Club. So watch John Tucker Must Die. The next movie I'm going to mention is The Other Woman. This is Cameron Diaz. That one model, Kate Upton, I think her name is. And I can't remember her name. The other woman, I think that these three women dated the same man and they all get together once again to create revenge, but also form a friendship.
Leslie Mann.
Yeah, Leslie Mann. Thank you. Not Amy Mann. Amy Mann's a... Yeah. So Other Woman, I think that this flew under the radar. I watched it and I fell in love with these girls. I just thought it was hilarious. I love the scheme. And the planning and the plotting that they were doing in this. There's a lot of funny moments in this. So definitely watch that. And my last movie I'm going to recommend, it was a tie actually, because I wanted to bring up, this is an honorable mention, I guess I'll say, is Chasing Pop. No one knows this movie. This was a direct, well, I think it was in theaters for like a week, in and out. This was Vergara's like first big Hollywood movie, even though it wasn't as popular. But she starred in this along with Rosalind Sanchez. Some other people popped into this movie. A girl from Eden's Crush popped into this as a cameo. And so Chasing Poppy is these three women who find out they've been dating the same guy in three different cities, and they all meet at the same time, and they decide to like find him and confront him. Guess who the guy is? Guess who Poppy is?
Oh my God, this cover. I saw this cover. Is this Mr.
It sure is.
Mr. Perfect from Charmed.
It is Mr. Perfect from Charmed. Yes.
Deep
exactly.
tissue massages.
I went and saw this movie. It has Freddie Rodriguez in it too. Another familiar face, D.L. Hughley. And again, some women who kind of pop up here and there. But I found this to be so cute. But I didn't choose that because most likely a lot of people are going to hate the writing of this movie. This is one of my feel-good ones. But the last one I'm going to recommend is 9 to 5. If anything, 9 to 5, you know, walked so First Wives Club can run. It would be a disservice if I did not bring up the original trio to get back at men.
That is amazing, because that was exactly what I was thinking when we were talking about the scene of them, the window washing scene. I was thinking 9 to 5, Judy at the copier, the pushing the dead body, I got a gun in my purse.
Oh my God.
This movie did inspire a title for me to watch that I've never seen before. Ryan, you actually brought it up. This movie does make me want to watch the series. I will definitely put that on more up on my queue to check out. The series has been on my mind for a while, and I think it is time to finally just watch it. So that is something that I will be taking away from this as a recommendation.
And it's not too many episodes. It seems like it's three seasons of just like maybe a few episodes. So it could probably be binged really quickly.
And that's the best way to do it. I can't wait.
I hope no cliffhanger.
I know, right? I don't know if it ended with an actual ending, but...
So with that, it's another episode of Radical Retro Rewind Down. We also have an interview coming out, or it might have been out by now, with Sailor Moon herself, Terry Hawks. This was something that was like literally months in the making, and then all of a sudden it just came together. Anyone who's listened to this show probably, you know, knows that I love Sailor Moon, and particularly this person's version. It's the 90s. It's the one that we always talk about on this show. So I can't believe this happened. And here we are. I forgot to mention this. Kathy Lee Gifford made a cameo in this movie at some point. And I recently heard that it takes, from Kathy Lee Gifford, she told somebody, it takes 5 years for a show to take off. So here we are. This might be the year. And you know what? Getting Sailor Moon kind of just makes me makes me giddy. So maybe this is our year.
She better use that silver crystal power on this show.
My God.
That's what I'm about to say.
Congratulations on getting that interview, though. That must have been amazing. I can't imagine being able to interview someone that I've heard or watched over the years. So that's awesome.
With that being said, Rob, where can the lovely people find you when you're not hanging out over here?
Rob the Movie Geek on Instagram, all one word. You'll see my recommendations that I suggested in this episode, along with other archived reviews that I've done over the years since I started this whole thing.
And that link will be in the description box below, as well as David at Universal Appeal 2020, all one word on Instagram. You know us on the Radical Retro Rewind podcast. One word. Special shout out to lovely Leah. Rob and I were just talking off camera. Your comments get us so pumped on, even on the radical side. I know you give us so much Thundercats love, but I love that you're our cheerleader on this side of things as well. So don't get rich, get everything. Is that the term that
you're
supposed
to say? Don't get mad, get everything.
Don't get mad. There you go, of course.
and a shout out to Common.
Yeah.
You know, poetry.
Yeah, this is why we don't get comments, because Ryan's telling people never to get rich.
You don't get rich, get everyone. What am I even talking about? Thank you, everyone. Stay radical, and we will see you next week.
And don't tell me what to do. And don't tell me what to say. And when I go out with you, don't put me on display.
Pretty good.
You remember. You don't own me. Don't try to change me in any way. You don't own me. Don't tie me down, 'cause I'll never stay.
I don't tell you what to say. I don't tell you what to do.
So just let me be mine.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.